Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
And all week long, I've been wondering, when's this game going to get here? You know what? It's almost here now. It's almost right there. If you're watching on MSG, you see the field, the tarp-covered field at New Era Field, where the Bills and the Baltimore Ravens will play on Sunday. We're almost just a couple of days away now. 49 hours away from kickoff with the Bills and the Ravens. Big game here in Orchard Park. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is John Murphy, co-host, and Chris Brown joins us as co-host today. Steve Tasker vacationing again. Filling your own punchline, and Brownie's here. It's great to have you here, Brownie. Thanks for coming in, man.
Yes, good to be here. Fast Friday.
Yeah.
Players are inside because it's a good day for a duck here in Orchard Park.
Yeah, it's miserable out.
A lot of rain. Man, it
miserable
is.
Miserable out.
If this was snow, it would be piling up.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be significant.
Here's the weather's been so miserable this week that three straight days I've checked the weather for Sunday now, and it looks actually getting better for Sunday.
Dry,
more clouds
warmer.
Than sunshine, 0% chance of precipitation, high 45. The winds could be a factor, winds of 15 to 20 miles per hour. So that's what we're looking at for Sunday's game.
Yeah, I actually saw Coach Harbaugh in some of his comments in his press conferences on Wednesday and Thursday. He was asked about, you know, the windy conditions that tend to exist here, especially this time of year. And they actually got a windy practice day on Wednesday down there, so he was very happy to get that because he said that's really not something you can duplicate, I guess, short of putting some wind turbines at one end of a field, and that seems a little extreme. So he was happy to get weather that he thinks will help replicate what they're going to see here on Sunday. Will it make a difference? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Last couple of home games, right? Denver was pretty windy.
Philadelphia was the windiest
really
game
windy.
Of the year.
And even Miami in the middle of those two. Was that the middle game in between? No. Philadelphia was the 27th, the 3rd. Washington was windy, too.
Washington. Yeah, not as windy. But I think Philadelphia was the winner in the clubhouse so far. But we'll have to see what this weekend brings.
Yeah.
Because it can impact things. And they had a bad weather game last week. It looked like it looks outside today here.
Baltimore, yeah.
Last week in Baltimore between them and the Niners. And, you know, they kind of battled through that. You know, Lamar even was talking about how his only lost fumble of the season, which happened last week against the 49ers, was due in part to the fact that, you know, his arms got all wet and the ball was wet also. And so he said, normally I'm able to hold on and secure that thing when somebody's ripping at it, but I could not.
Wind or not, these two teams are going to want to run the ball on Sunday, right? Even if it was a perfect calm day. And I was crunching numbers this morning, wrote a post that goes up on our website soon to look ahead at this game. Ravens and Bills, two of the top five rushing teams in the league. Baltimore's first, Buffalo's fifth. And they run it often. Baltimore leads the league, 445 rushing attempts this year. They average 37 rushing attempts per game.
Bills aren't far off of that, though.
Bills average 30 per game. San Francisco in the middle of them, second. So the Bills, third most rushing attempts. Baltimore, the most rushing attempts. And they're going to want to run it, as are the Bills. And they're not going to be deterred, I think. They're going to do everything they can. Which may hold the key to this game, Brownie, as I think about the keys to a possible Buffalo victory. If you can stop their run, which, yeah, means put defenders in the box, load up the box. If you can stop their run, force them to pass, I think the Bills stand a better chance. Not a great chance, but a better chance of knocking them off this Sunday.
Well, that's part of the reason why, you know, when you and Steve were asking me yesterday when I was out on the practice field on the show, you know, what's got to happen here, I think Edmonds and Milano are the keys to the defensive effort on Sunday. If they can read the plays consistently and get to their spots, out-leverage some of the blocking scheme that Baltimore will throw at you with those tight ends coming out of the backfield, pulling guards, et cetera, you got a chance to at least slow down what is, in essence, a machine with this Baltimore running game. And I'm encouraged. I believe they can do that because I think Milano right now is playing some of his best football this season. And I think Edmonds is miles better than where he was at this time last year. So hopefully those two guys, to me, though, hold the keys to neutralizing slow. I don't think you're going to stop what Baltimore does completely,
right,
but at least slow them down, neutralize them, and keep it a game. Because this is a team that gets out in front of people really early,
right,
and then they can keep running the ball because they're up on teams. And somehow, some way, you've got to slow them down in that opening quarter. This is the most successful first possession team in the league. They've scored on 9 of their 12 opening possessions for a 75% success rate, and that is tops in the league by a wide margin. So you've got to slow it down. I think the reason it is so hard is what we've talked about all week. The fact that as much as you prepare for these looks that are going to be coming at you, until you see it live and react to it in a live setting, it's still an adjustment. It's a shock to the system, and then it becomes how quickly can you adjust to what they're throwing at you? All the preparation that you had and all of that, now it's coming at you in the snap of a finger. Can you speed up your thought process and get your body where it needs to be to make the play, given your assignment on, you know, whatever given defensive call you've got? How quickly they can adjust to the speed at which Baltimore runs this thing is going to be essential in keeping them off the scoreboard early in the game and keeping it a game.
Chris, I'm not going to tell you that scheme doesn't matter in this game. It does. It always matters. But you know what I think is more important than scheme? Or even eye discipline that the Bills defenders have talked about all week. To win this game, the Bills, I believe, need to be really physical as they've been yet this year. This is a Baltimore team that wants to pound you, and they want to rough you up, and they will do it on offense and on defense. The Bills have to be ready to respond to that physicality.
Right.
Will they be? I don't know. You know, the Bills' linebackers are not the most physical linebackers in the league. The defensive front four, not the biggest or most physical group. But they're going to have to do it this week because the Ravens are going to come out and try to pound you. That's what those three tight ends do. Yes, they've caught 101 passes, but that's what those three tight ends are out there for. That's what the 300-pound fullback Ricard is out there for. That's what their offensive line is out there for. They want to dominate at the line of scrimmage, and the Bills have to be ready to respond. And to me, as important as scheme is, as important as eye discipline is, that would be the number one key for the Bills to handle Baltimore's offense.
And that's somewhat of a concern, only because I think we can agree that the construct of this defense is largely to stop the pass.
They're built for speed.
They're built to stop the pass, get to spots, get in the hook zones, have linebackers that can drop, play sideline to sideline. After that front line, there's not a lot of sand in the pants with a lot of the linebackers, the DBs. So if you're going to get into a smash mouth war with Baltimore and that offensive line, which I think still even now is underrated, the way that they were able to pivot off of a season-ending injury to their starting center Skura and just bang, plug in a second-year player and
undrafted free agent,
just keep on going. I was like, dang! And Ronnie Stanley, I don't know if you've looked at the numbers on Ronnie Stanley. Holy cow! I mean. And they don't pass a ton. I get it. But 4 total quarterback pressures all season he's given up from the blind side there. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That is probably my chief concern with this game. The ability of Buffalo's defense to just flat out mash with Baltimore, because I think it's going to come down to that. They're going to try to mash and beat you up. And you've got to find a way to stop that. And while I do have faith in the defensive front right at the line of scrimmage with guys like Jordan Phillips and Starr, second and third level, man, they better be coming with a whole house of momentum behind them if they want to drop some of these guys once they have a full head of steam.
Yeah.
Especially Ingram, who's like that short, compact, balled up guy, you know, that you can't really
get. He runs so hard.
Oh, my gosh. And I couldn't believe his road statistics for scoring touchdowns. Like, he's got more touchdowns than anybody active in the league right now in terms of career touchdowns on the road. It's like 18 or something. It's crazy. I mean, it's not a stat you often think about, so maybe that's why it caught me so off guard, but he is rolling right now.
He had a big game here against the Bills when he was with the Saints. Remember a couple of years ago? He had 3 touchdowns, 134 yards on the ground, I think. when the New Orleans Saints steamrolled the Bills. And look, be ready for it. They're going to come after him again. I think the Bills, yes, this game is important. Mm-hmm. Although, I don't know if you agree with this, Chris. I'm going to let you know what's on the show, let everybody know what's on the show here in a minute. But I've been dying to talk about this game. Can't wait for Sunday. But here's a point I was going to make. A scheme is important, but I almost get the sense that the Bills, when you talk to the members of the Buffalo defense, they're not looking for the the golden pass, the magic key from Leslie Frazier, like, this is how we stop them, boys. I think when they start talking about eye discipline and playing your responsibility, it seems to me that it's been drilled into them, basically, do your job. Play hard, do your job, and be physical, and that's how we handle this unique-looking Baltimore offense, right? There's no golden key here. There's no magic formula.
The only other recurring sentence that I heard from the players in the locker room this week was, rally to the football. I think they know in a smash-mouth game, if they don't have 4 and 5 guys getting to the ball, there's going to be a lot of long plays against them. And so they know, well, we don't have guys individually that can just – mash with people, so we got to get numbers to the football if we're going to slow this team down. And so, and they're good at that. They are good at rallying to the football and getting bodies around the ball. They're really good at that. So they're going to have to be at their best against this group.
It's going to be old-fashioned football here in Orchard Park on Sunday. We're going to talk about it all day long. We want to hear from you as well. Good show here. Evan Washburn's going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes, bottom of this hour. He's a sideline reporter for the NFL on CBS. He'll have this week's game. He'll be here with the CBS crew to call the game from the sidelines. Evan Washburn will have an up-close look at the Smash Mouth game that we expect. 1 o'clock Friday, that's Greg Cosell time, and the executive producer and analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN will be with us here at 1. Maddie Glab joins us at 1:30. She takes a look at the other things that have to fall into place if the Bills are to clinch a playoff spot this weekend. Some of the other action in the NFL with Maddie Glab at 1:30. 2 o'clock, Zoe Lorenzo Alexander with a lowdown, his look at this week's game. All of that coming up on the show. Chris Brown is with us here today until 3. You should be with us as well. The phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're giving Chris Brown credit for this week's or for this day's Twitter question, and it's a good one. It's a simple one, and simple is better when it comes to Twitter questions. What's your dream headline on Monday after this Bills-Ravens game? What would you like to see in the paper? The headline after the Bills game on Sunday. What's your dream headline? Pretty simple. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We'll read them on the tweet sheet. And
I want to encourage creativity here.
Yeah, let's have some fun with that.
Let's just keep it clean, though.
Yeah.
Because we can't read the filthy ones on the air.
What's your dream headline? Let's take some of these off the tweet sheet right now. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. I haven't read these before. I hope they're all clean. Marlon tweets it. Allen beats Jackson. Jackson held to 68 yards rushing, 129 passing.
Mm.
That'd be kind of a boring headline, but it would work.
Well, yeah, everybody would take it to the bank
yeah.
7 times out of 7. But, yeah, I mean.
Here's a good one. This is what you're looking
for. If they do that, I mean, they're going to be the toast of the league
in
terms of coverage next week.
A tweet from Brian on the tweet sheet. What's your dream headline on Monday after the Bills-Ravens game? Brian tweets in, the Pope returns the Ravens jersey after the Bills win.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
I like that
the Ravens. Bishops from Baltimore presented Pope Francis with the Ravens Lamar Jackson jersey.
A signed
day.
Ravens.
Yes.
A signed Lamar Jackson jersey.
I'm sure that
jersey.
Meant a lot to,
yes.
His holiness. Go ahead. You read some of these, Chris.
All right. This one from Tiffany. This is a long headline. I don't know if this would fit on a newspaper these days. Josh Allen dominates the Ravens as the Bills move to 10-3, closing in on the Patriots, who lose to the Chiefs, losing Brady for the season for excessive crying to the officials. Wow. There's a whole bunch of layers there.
There's three or four stories.
We not only have the Bills winning, we have the Chiefs beating the Patriots, which would what would that do? That would pull them into a tie. Patriots would still be ahead based on head-to-head tiebreaker. But, yeah, then they'd be locked up both at 10-3 there.
We'll talk about some of this with Maddie, but a Buffalo win coupled with a 425 Foxborough kickoff Patriots loss to Kansas City opens things up.
It's going to open up a lot of bottles of liquor is what it's going to open up in Buffalo.
Some of those get open regardless. But seriously, then you can start legitimately think about, well, look, you can not just think about the AFC East crown, but if that happens, Bills beat Baltimore, Bills beat Baltimore, Chiefs lose, Chiefs beat Patriots. Now you start thinking about, hey, are the Bills going to be the number one seed in the conference? I mean, That's a lot.
And the reason you can think about it is because you still have the second head-to-head to even that tiebreaker out. Take that out of the equation. And then you got to get into other things. And I got to be honest, I haven't looked at a division tiebreaker because it is slightly different than a conference tiebreaker with another team in the AFC, for example. But in the division, the tiebreakers are a little bit different in terms of the order in which they appear on the pecking order there. So I know it's head-to-head, then it's division record. I can't remember what comes after that. Conference games is further down, where if you're going against another conference opponent or a conference team for tiebreaker, it gets to conference record really quick.
And actually, our next tweet from Buffalo Rumblings addresses that. Buffalo Rumblings tweet, what's your dream headline on Monday if the Bills play the Ravens? The tweet is, Buffalo controls the AFC, Bills win, and Patriots loss means playoffs could run through Western New York. That is the dream scenario, right? The dream
scenario.
Well,
we asked for a dream headline, so yes. I guess that makes sense. I've got no problem with that. I just think it's hilarious how people are layering in the Patriots, even though this is this is the biggest home game since probably the season finale in 2004, when the Bills with a win were in the playoffs, you know, and had to play the Steelers here. Wouldn't you say this is the biggest home game since then?
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
No,
I couldn't think of another.
I mean, the Steelers were good that year, right? Going to the playoffs, but they didn't play that lineup here.
No, they played all their backups.
Yeah.
Like Willie Parker, nobody knew who Willie Parker was. They knew after that game, unfortunately. But the Bills had won six in a row going into that game, and it was winning in. And, I remember the buzz. It was palpable for that game. People were fired up. The team had won six in a row. I mean, there was a buzz. Not unlike the buzz we're getting now, you know, after the exposure and performance in last week's game. And the magnitude of this game, I think, only enhances it all the more.
Here's one from the tweet sheet from Virgil. Dream headline on Monday after the Bills-Ravens game. Virgil tweets in, Josh Allen won, Lamar Jackson nothing in the first battle of the two most controversial quarterbacks of the 2018 first-round class. Allen gets the better of Jackson. There hasn't been a whole lot of focus on that, Chris, about the 2018 draft. About Josh versus Lamar, and I think Virgil's right. You know, they were probably the two most second-guessed picks of those five that went in the first round in 2018. And I think both teams will tell you they're happy how it's worked out. I really liked Sean McDermott's answer Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Monday? Might have been Monday when he was asked about that and how you passed up on Lamar Jackson, as did 30 other teams in the NFL.
Yeah, that was Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, was that Wednesday? And he said, hey, we got the guy we want. I thought that's a perfect answer. And I believe he means it, too, when he said
that.
Well,
yeah, and on the back end of that response, he also said it's no disrespect to Lamar. You know, we thought a lot of Lamar. We just wanted Josh and thought he was the best fit for us. And, you know, I think a lot of people kind of lose sight of that sometimes because you might deem one player more talented than another, but – we hear the Bills talk all the time about having players with our DNA. And this isn't, again, as McDermott said, not a reflection on Lamar not being a worker or a grinder or a great person or of great character. They just felt that Josh checked all the boxes for what they wanted in a quarterback. And that's why they made two trades up to go get him. I mean, and that's the way it went.
Yeah.
And Lamar goes 32 because I think people had a lot of doubts about him.
Sure.
And we talked about this on the show yesterday. I was watching film, and I know you kind of noticed the same thing. There's not a lot of throws in this Baltimore offense that go outside the numbers, deep down the sideline. None of those kinds of throws. I don't know if they just don't believe Lamar can hit on those, or if they don't believe they have the right receivers outside to complete a high percentage of those plays. But there is most definitely a reason why they do not turn to those kinds of plays. And fortunately for them, they haven't had to in a whole lot of situations. But it's very interesting that he does not throw outside beyond the swing pass or a throw to the flat.
Right. A couple of things about this quarterback comparison, and I'm glad we got you here to talk about this. I can't get out of my head the playoff game. Was it a wild card game? No, I think it was divisional round. The Chargers and the Ravens last year. That was divisional round, right? Lamar Jackson was awful.
Yes.
He was awful that day.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
He was terrible. Couldn't throw it. I mean, he had three pass completions, I believe, in the entire game. That guy's still there. He's better. He got better. They moved they tailored the offense around him. And big credit to Greg Roman for seeing what he could do and what he could not do, and turning the offense around a little bit, focusing on the run game, not asking him to make certain throws. But that guy is still there. And when it comes to comparing these two quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen is a much better passer than Lamar Jackson. I mean, a much more accomplished passer. And Josh has issues. We know it. He's not super accurate. We know that. He's better at it now than he was last year. But he's a much better passer than Lamar Jackson. He belongs up there at number 7 with Lamar down there at number 32 in that first round. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm talking about passing here.
Yeah, and I am going to say, I think Lamar has made huge strides in his passing mechanics.
Yeah.
I believe that his improvements in year two, there's something to be said about the passing. Nobody talks about his passing game because he runs so much. I think he's a capable passer. I don't know if anyone would go as far as to say he's a dominant passer. I don't think he is. I think he's an efficient passer, though.
Yeah.
And when you have a run game that's as respected as that of the Ravens, I think it only makes his job easier as a thrower to keep his team on schedule and to keep defenses honest. Now, I'll say this. I think cerebrally, Lamar this year was ahead of where Josh was at the beginning of the year. I think cerebrally processing the game, diagnosing pre-snap, executing post-snap, he was ahead of Josh at the beginning of the year.
How can you say that?
Because I just think his performance has been more consistent from start to finish this year.
All right, you can say that.
That's why, and just from the people that have been talking about him down in Baltimore that cover him on a daily basis, they feel that cerebrally, he really has made big leaps and strides in giving Baltimore a consistent performer at the quarterback position. And yes, most of it has been, you know, with the read option game and running the football. But I mean, you go back and you look at that Rams game. I mean, he was surgically dicing up that defense. I mean, and Wade didn't spin the dial too much defensively with the Rams. He was playing a lot of three deep zone. And to me, I was like, you got to come out of that. You got to go get him, man. But he looked like a surgeon in that game. I mean, it just looked like pitch and catch on the playground. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving him all the credit for that, but the plays were there to be made, and he made almost all of them. I mean, how many balls hit the ground? I don't think he had any completion in the first half, right?
He was 9 for 9 first
half. Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, he might have won the MVP just in the first half of that game on Monday Night Football, a national audience. I think he might have won MVP just by that first half.
Again, it was 9 for 9. There were only 9 pass attempts.
Right. But, I mean, you can't fault him for what's being called. He's executing
So
I just think that was where he might have been ahead of Josh at the beginning of the year. I think Josh has kind of caught up to him now, especially with the way that the Bills have kind of found what works best for them, and now they're riding it and to great success and to great heights. Where it goes from here is going to be interesting. I just hope, and I don't think this will happen, I just hope that Josh doesn't get caught up in the, you know, Lamar Josh thing that everybody's talking about the entire week. I don't think he will. I just don't want him to try to do more than he needs to.
Josh's been pretty good about that.
I know. I think he has.
He handles the spotlight well.
I think he has.
Yeah.
And I think he plays better when the chips are down.
Yeah.
I remember telling you guys, what was it? Which game was it now? It was, I can't remember. It was in the first 5 games of the season. Maybe it was the Tennessee game. Might have been the Tennessee game. I remember coming in here on Monday talking to you and Steve and saying, Josh Allen is a crunch time quarterback.
Yeah.
Because he is. And his fourth quarter passer rating will prove that.
Sure.
But, man, I'm not – I think Lamar is – I mean, he's right there, man. He is – I think he's right there. I don't think he's quite the passer that Josh is because he doesn't have the arm strength. He's got a strong arm. He can throw it just about anywhere except outside the numbers, apparently. But his efficiency has been impressive. He doesn't have to throw it 25, 30 times a game because of the offense that he's in.
Who do you think is going to have a better career long term?
Oh, I don't know how you can predict that.
I'm predicting Josh because he's a better passer. I'll tell you right now. And I think Lamar is running the risk. I mean, we worried about, can Josh Allen carry it this often? Can he really handle the ball and run that much without getting hurt? Well, I'd like to be the other guy running it twice, three times as many times.
I would venture to say that I think Lamar is probably closer to what his ceiling is than Josh. Yeah. I would say that. I'm comfortable saying that. So, yes, the potential is there for Josh to be better than him. Yes, I would agree with that.
Hey, the Bills talking about Lamar Jackson all week long, including Lorenzo Alexander. He'll be joining us later on the show. But in the locker room the other day, he had some thoughts on facing the mobile quarterback, Baltimore's Lamar Jackson.
It's drastically different, obviously, because it's not too many quarterbacks that you have to account for in the run game. You know, some teams try to incorporate it. You know, obviously we do it out here with Josh, but that's like maybe once or twice a game. It's not a threat of him doing it, you know, at any time and being very explosive at it. I mean, even on third downs, he's converted, I think, 12 out of 14 third downs when he's decided to take off. So it's not just first and second down. It's throughout the entire game. So, like I said, you got to be conscious of who he is and what he's able to do, but at the same time, you got to go play ball, play smart, play sound, and then just you got to be ready to run all game to kind of corral him and get him down collectively as a defense.
Can you keep being aggressive the way you've been the last few games?
You have to. Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, you can't sit back and allow an athlete to have space. At some point, you have to eat that grass up and make it a phone booth type game and be able to get him down. But for me, if I'm sitting back here trying to be patient and let him dance with me, I mean, he's going to break me down eventually. So you have to be aggressive and then count on your teammates as far as once they've established their gap, they're ripping off and running to the ball too.
Lorenzo describes a fine line that he and his teammates are going to have to walk, right?
Well, yeah. I'm a big believer of get to the spot before he does. So that is where Buffalo's speed as a defense could help them against Lamar specifically. You know, we talked about how this big line that they have, the tight ends and the fullback that mash people and get them out of the way for Jackson and Ingram to run through these holes. I mean, they're massive holes sometimes. You get that end zone cam or the cable cam that, you know, the networks put on the field there or hang above the field, and you're like, holy cow, you could drive a truck through there with the holes that they create sometimes. And you worry about that, but I think with a guy like Lamar, if you hesitate, you're dead in the water. You've got to be aggressive, and if you happen to be wrong, at least be wrong fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't sit back and be slow and wrong. At least be fast and attack the hell out of the thing. Maybe you knock somebody over and he falls into Lamar Jackson and knocks him down. I just think you've got to get to those spots before he does, because if you don't close the space down and you give him angles of exit, he's going to find one of the exit doors, and it's not a 5-yard play. It's a 65-yard touchdown.
That can happen against these guys. The Bills on the practice field now. They had a couple of players, Chris, T.J. Yeldon and Quentin Spain, who were not practicing yesterday. You were out there today and saw them out there, huh?
Yeah, they were both out there warming up, and we only really get to see stretch on Fridays, so we don't really get to see them in action or anything. But, yeah, they were both in there dressed for practice, so hopefully just a one-day thing. You know, you hear about all of these illnesses going around with some of these teams. Some people in New England might argue with 8 starters with the flu, it contributed to their loss against Houston in terms of execution. When you don't feel yourself, it's hard to execute and be sharp. There was another team, too, that had a bunch of guys with the flu, and they sent them home. It's 4 or 5 players, and I'm just going to slip my mind now. I can't remember if it was Seattle or somebody else, but there was a second team that was dealing with that also. It's going around right now, so hopefully they've nipped it in the bud here and, you know, sent Yeldon and Spain home yesterday. They're back today, so maybe it's not as bad as anticipated, and hopefully it's nothing that impacts how Spain can play on Sunday.
The injury report will come out later today after practice. Ty Insecki not practicing Wednesday, Thursday, so that doesn't look good for him.
He wasn't out there today again either, okay. So I would anticipate he is inactive again this week, but we'll wait to see what the designation is when the final report comes out later.
All right, we're going to talk a lot about this game. We want you to jump in with us. What is your dream headline for Monday after the Bills-Ravens game? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Evan Washburn from the NFL on CBS. He's their sideline reporter. He's going to be here this weekend for the sideline call of the Bills and the Ravens. We'll get a thought from Evan Washburn on all of this when we come back. Thanks for tuning in. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy here. Chris Brown will be back in a moment. Chris is checking on the end of practice today, and Chris is in for Steve Tasker today. Joining us on the line right now, a guy will be on the sidelines here Sunday for the Bills and the Ravens. He's the NFL on CBS sideline reporter, studio host for the CBS Sports Network, a contributor to Ravens.com. Happy to have Evan Washburn on the line. Hello, Evan. John Murphy here. Thanks for coming on with us, and get ready for Buffalo. You ready for the game this week?
Absolutely, Murph. Good to be with you as always.
Got to feel like you got a big-time game here. I know you guys do a lot of big games, you and Ian Eagle and that group, but this is late season December. We don't get a lot of games like this. You guys get much more meaningful games. It's got to feel pretty good to have an important game like this.
This is what you root for, Murph. I mean, you want two teams that obviously have winning records. There's stakes involved. There's intrigue. There's question. And there's talented players. And, yeah, you're right. We've had a few of these, whether it was – and it's honestly, for whatever reason, been attached to Baltimore's run. We were with them in week three in Kansas City in somewhat of a prove-it game where Kansas City wins that one, and there's some question now about Baltimore. And then we had them a few weeks ago once they'd become the hottest team in the league against Houston, and they only cemented that fact with the way they played against the Texans at home. So this is another step in that direction, and I do think it'll be a great atmosphere, which you guys always bring, but also hopefully a great game as well.
Ravens had those two straight losses, Kansas City and Cleveland. Did anything change significantly about the way they approach these games from then until now, where they're at right now with eight straight wins?
There are a number of factors as I see it, and you can look on either side of the ball. I think if you want to look offensively and with the star of the show and Lamar Jackson, I feel like early in the season, even though the numbers the first couple weeks were out of this world and continue to be, obviously, there was this propensity to want to prove that he is a true pocket passer and he can dissect defenses and hit all his progressions. While he's still doing that, it's obvious to me, and having talked to him a number of times over this stretch, that he's just more decisive as a runner during this win streak, where if it's not there, whether it be off play action or off of a number of progressions, he's not thinking about, oh, do I need to stick around and make a play with my arm? No, he's just taking off and he's running. And he's making all those highlight reel plays and piling up these numbers that's leading to a record-breaking season in terms of rushing totals. And then defensively, and ton of credit to Eric DaCosta with what he did to flip this defense in season with some streak-free agents that were familiar with the defense and L.J. Fort, Josh Bynes, who was part of this team when they won a Super Bowl, and they got stiffer against the run in the interior, and it just flipped everything, and now they've got the DBs healthy, and I think that really changed the course of things defensively.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about the Baltimore defense. I want to get to that, but I first want to talk a little bit more about Lamar Jackson, the putative MVP of the league right now. I think I'm a lot like most people, Evan. My going into the season, the lasting impression I had of Lamar Jackson came from the playoff game against the Chargers. He was awful that day. What happened between then and this season to get him to the point where he's now talked about as the MVP?
Old-fashioned hard work, and I think it's one of the most impressive, and you've been around the league longer than I have, but I'd love to see comps to a player being able to improve their game in a very short period of time. And I think at the core of it really came down to the fundamentals with his feet and ball security. That's where we're seeing the greatest improvement. The completion percentage is much better, and that's a product of him being more fundamentally sound as a thrower. And ball security, to me, is probably the biggest leap. I mean, you think about just in terms of fumbles last year. He had 15 fumbles. He lost five of them. This year he has just six and just lost one, and that was last week in that driving rainstorm against the 49ers. The interception numbers are better. He had that rough stretch against Cleveland and Pittsburgh earlier this year. He hasn't turned it over through the air since. So I think attention to detail, the work he put in, and what this staff has done around him with a quarterback coach and James Urban, who's renowned at that position to be able to get the most out of him. Obviously, Greg Roman being elevated offensive coordinator, whether it's away from the facility with the things he was doing with his private coaches, and then once he came back to the facility in the spring, it's been a complete effort, and you're seeing the rewards of it in the way he's played.
Evan, people want to talk a lot this year about how unique the Baltimore offense is, and yes, they are focused on the run. The quarterback runs all day. Is that the main thing about the special nature of Greg Roman's offense, or is there something else that you've detected?
I think, look, the pistol and option-style football is still somewhat foreign while it's becoming more and more common at the pro level. I think the real factors that make it unique and difficult to prepare for is that you just can't prepare for Lamar's speed, elusiveness, and toughness. I mean, he's a really difficult guy to bring down, even if you get your hands on him. I mean, did their preseason games, have obviously done a number of games through the regular season here, and on the sideline, you really get a great view of dudes have him wrapped up, and he's able to run through it. He's not physically imposing like a walk-off-the-bus type of big, but he's really strong. So I think that's part of it. And then the emergence of the tight ends, and most notably Mark Andrews, who I think's right there behind Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, probably, and then Andrews as some of the top tight ends in the league. And his growth in year two, along with the complementary guys in Boyle and Hurst, that's just a three-headed monster that's difficult to deal with. So I think those two factors or areas of the offense are what make it really unique.
Really glad you brought up the tight ends, Evan. And I've been telling people all week from the games that I've watched with the Ravens, the tight ends are essential, critical to what they do offensively. And, yeah, they've got 103 catches. Andrews has half of them. But it's the way they block and how physical they are and how important they are to the run game that makes those tight ends stand out to me when I watch them.
No doubt. And it's important to bring that up because we can't forget about, or fans can't forget about, Mark Ingram and the free agent signing that Eric DaCosta made, seeing something in him, despite his age, despite his role in New Orleans. He's a feature back of this offense. And to your point with the tight ends and how it helps Ingram and Lamar, it's Nick Boyle is basically a extra offensive lineman in on every play. And Andrews, while he's a pass-catching athletic tight end, he's gotten better as a blocker, as has Hayden Hurst. And this other kid, Patrick Ricard, is a great story. They just re-signed him to a two-year extension. He's a fullback now. They brought him in as a defensive tackle, undrafted out of Maine last year. And he's become that somewhat, as Bills fans will know, James Devlin type that they had in New England before he got hurt, where he's just this hulking lead blocker. So you factor Ricard, Boyle, the offensive line, which is great, and then really good runners, and that's where it just gets to be a bit of a nightmare for defenses.
We're on the line with Evan Washburn, NFL on CBS sideline reporter. He'll be in Buffalo for the game on Sunday, the Bills and the Ravens. One more Ravens question before you, Evan, before we get to a little bit of this Buffalo matchup. It's an eight-game win streak, and it includes wins at Seattle, at the Rams, home wins against the Niners, home wins against New England. Could it be possible that the Ravens may have peaked too soon?
It's a great question. It's one that's being really bantied around a lot in Baltimore. And something that I talk to players about it, they're willing to acknowledge that it is important, that this isn't the zenith of their season. Now, that being said, it's not as if they're going to create some sort of adversity or they're going to try and not play their best in every game just in hope that, okay, well, we've now got a place where we can reach higher. So I think that it really is more about trying to bottle up what they have and protect it and not allow it to negatively affect their sort of emotional and mental state, i.e. getting ahead of themselves. And the reality of it is, too, is they just want to, for lack of a better term, I would imagine, get through these four games,
Yeah. Obviously
achieve the goals in terms of seeding and locking in division titles and all those things, but get through them healthy as best they can so that, because they feel like when they have these complements of players that there is no peaking, they'll just be able to sustain. But as we know in this league, that it all it takes is one play, one unfortunate situation, and you're down a key cog to the whole thing.
Hey, Evan, the 49ers held Baltimore to 20 points last Sunday. The weather, obviously, a factor in that as well. But did San Francisco provide a defensive template for the Bills, do you think, this week?
I think the weather can't be understated. It was I was actually in Pittsburgh doing the Browns-Steelers game, but knowing people here, living here, I understood that it was a pretty nasty day. And that is one thing, and I think it's a factor that we'll get into on the broadcast for sure. And I know it's not supposed to be miserable in Buffalo by any means. Probably it'll be, a banner day for you guys in terms of this time of year. But the wind's still there. It's a constant. And I'll be curious how Lamar manages that, because he's self-admitted that cold and rainy have not been great for him, and the numbers reflect that too. So, look, the weather was big, and you can't also underestimate just that front for San Francisco. While they didn't actually do what they've done to other teams, Lamar still ran pretty well. They were a mess to deal with. I mean, those guys are so big and fast and athletic up front, and they did do some things that the coaches in Baltimore have admitted. Look, there's only so much you could do against that much talent up front. So in terms of a blueprint, that's still waiting to be worked on and figured out for how to stop this offense. So maybe it's Mother Nature and having four first-round picks on the D-line.
One more for you, Evan, and that's the quarterback matchup. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, both of them from the five quarterbacks drafted in 2018. Clearly those two are at the head of the class now, but long-term, who's got the brightest future, would you think? Allen, Lamar Jackson, or maybe somebody else from that class? This is, I know, a speculative question.
No, it's fun. It's always worth kind of trying to project these things, and it's a good discussion to have. But look, the way I view it right now, if Lamar's about to be the MVP, that's the one you ride with. I mean, those are awards that are rare in this league. I mean, they're not just handed out to being a first-round pick, and you look back at who's won MVPs, and it's obviously an illustrious list. So Lamar has that moniker right now, and he's earned it. So that's who you'd want to bet on moving forward. I haven't lost faith at all in Baker Mayfield. I still think he's got every tool you would want to be a great quarterback in this league. They just need to figure out a way to bottle up something that's just more efficient and an identity there in Cleveland. But that's for another day in terms of a discussion. And then I think I've just been so impressed, and I always I think it's tough to talk to you about this because you live and breathe it every day there, but something's happened with Josh since that Patriot game that Archer actually did. We talked to him about it a little yesterday, and he acknowledged some things, but it just feels like he's finally gotten to the point where he realizes taking care of the ball it can be the greatest value he has. Whether that means he ends up being an MVP candidate down the road, who knows? But if he can be this is something that Buffalo fans should be happy about. So that's kind of how I view it. And then Darnold and Rosen, jury's still out.
Yep. Evan, 45 degrees, the forecast high, more clouds than sun, 0% chance of precipitation. You're going to be all right here on the sideline Sunday. You're going to have fun with this game.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, man, I've been there when it's been nasty. Yeah. I always have fun in Buffalo. That place is it's like going to a different world in a good way.
We'll get into that maybe when you're here Sunday. Thank you, Evan. Have a safe trip, and we'll see you here Sunday. Thank you.
All right, Murph. You got it, man.
Evan Washburn, NFL on CBS sideline reporter, coming to a different world, Orchard Park, for Sunday's game, the Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. We thank him for joining us. We're coming back with more in a moment. Want to hear from you. What is your dream headline for Monday, the day after the Bills-Ravens game? Give us a call to discuss. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. John Murphy, co-hosting with Chris Brown, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. It's One Bills Live. Chris Brown is in for Steve Tasker today. Steve will be back on Monday. That's the plan. Welcome to the show. We got a pretty good Twitter question out there for you right now, asking you, what's your dream headline for Monday, the day after the Bills play the Ravens? Let us know what you think. We can read them from the tweet sheet. We'll do that in a second. We can take them off the phone lines, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Joe on the line. Where are you calling from, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, where are you, Joe? Where are you calling from?
I'm in Gary, New York.
Oh, down in Chautauqua County?
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. What's your dream headline, Joe?
My dream headline is Bills make Ravens eat crow.
I like it. I like it.
Crow and a raven are the same thing, you know.
Are they?
Yeah, supposedly.
We'll have to check with the Audubon Society for that. I'm not sure.
That.
Well,
a raven is a lot bigger than a crow. Have you ever seen a raven,
they're big.
A real one? They are gigantic.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew they were that big.
Yeah,
they're big.
Yeah, crows aren't that big.
Crows are like half the size of ravens.
Here's a call from Tom in Buffalo. You got a dream headline in mind, Tom?
Yeah, it'd be Buffalo tames ravens. And I think it's going to be Ed Oliver that does it.
Ooh.
Why do you say Ed Oliver?
I'm looking back to the college days when Ed Oliver ruled and he owned Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he played against Lamar when they were in college. What did he have, a couple of sacks? Two or three sacks in that game, and Houston rolled in that game.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. We got more from the tweet sheet, right, Chris? You got some tweets? Did you write them down? Or you got just one?
I have this one from the – we didn't get our updated sheet yet, did we? Maybe it's online.
I heard we're not getting one.
I'll check online. But this is from Bill's fan guy. He goes with the headline of, "We're not joshing you. Bill's closer to being atop the AFC East." I like the. I'm always a fan of play on words when it's used right. I'm all for the creativity today. I like what we've got going so far here. This is good from the. I have faith. I have faith that our listening audience can come up with some clever headlines for Monday. I think we all are obviously pining for a Bills victory, but let's have some fun with it, man. Let's loosen up and get creative.
Loose. We're always loose. Well, one more.
I'm saying the audience. Oh. Let's loosen up and get, you know.
The tweet sheet brought you
crack
by
one open if you need to get creative. I mean, who knows?
The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving System. Sharon Schull tweets this in. Bills win. Bye-bye, Blackbirds.
Ooh, okay.
That's pretty good.
I like that. I like the what do we call that? Alliteration, right?
Yes.
Bye-bye, Blackbirds. Yeah.
I'm looking for another good one here. Oh, this is good. Jim Fish tweets this in. Dream headline. Nevermore, Bills pluck Ravens.
Oh, yeah. We're playing off of Edgar Allan Poe there, right? That's a good one.
Yeah.
This is what I came up with. Okay. I was inspired, so I tried to come up with my own one here. Motor rolls Lamar defeathered as Bills clip Ravens. 23-20. That's my score. How about
motor
that?
Motor rolls. Do motors roll?
Well,
motor
when
chunks.
He runs, he looks like a rolling ball to me, so that's kind of where I got that from.
I gotcha.
Because he's so low to the ground, he looks, you know, I don't want to
motor rolls, and what's the second?
Motor rolls, Lamar defeathered.
Okay. Spend some more time on that.
Oh, God.
A break here. When we come back, Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN, he's going to join us. So come on back for that. One Bills Live, presented by Goliath Health, live from the Seneca Studio. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.